really works.
Chair Petronas.
Here.
Representatives Broxson.
Here.
Claylin.
Here.
Cummings.
Here.
Danish.
Here.
Davis. Fullwood.
Here.
Gibbons.
Here.
Goodson.
Here.
Hooper.
Here.
Oliva.
Here.
Perry is excused today. Pritchett.
Here.
Rayshon.
Here.
Ray.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Trujillo.
Here.
And Williams. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And if y'all indulge me, I'm going to ask you to all stand. The flags behind me, and we'll ask Representative Smith to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For those of you that this is your first time in this room since last year, you can tell it's got a fresh coat of paint, new carpet, and you have a new table in front of you, and the microphones are ultra-sensitive. And saying that, make sure your phones are either on silent or turned off all the way, because I'm sure the feedback would be just be ferocious for us. As we are going to consider, we're very fortunate today to have the folks from DEO here. We're going to get an update from them. But I want to recognize we have some new staff. We have a new policy chief, Carrington Kiner. Carrington, where you at? Stand up. No, get away from it there. You see Carrington? Carrington's our new policy chief, and he's got a new analyst attorney, Ryan Dugan. Ryan? Y'all welcome aboard. And anyhow, as we will pursue these, a couple new faces we'll have over at Military and Veterans Affairs. Now we will have a presentation by our executive director from DEO, Jesse Panuccio. Welcome, Mr. Director. First one to get to use any of our new toys.
Well, good afternoon.
Your microphone.
They're not that sensitive, I guess. Good afternoon, Chairman Petronas, members of the committee. Very pleased to be here today on behalf of the department and its many excellent employees to give you an update on our economic status here in Florida. It hardly bears repeating to this committee, but DEO was created 2 years ago to streamline and coordinate economic policy and program functions of state government. I'm pleased to report that on October 1st, we will mark our second anniversary as an agency, and I think we are, at this time, hitting our stride as an agency. Things are going very well there. You'll hear more about that through various presentations over the course of the next few months. But the report is very good after 2 years. The consolidation is complete, and I think we are doing quite well in our various programs. One of the gems of our agency is our Labor Market Statistics Center, led by, I think, the incomparable Becky Russ, who many of you know. And through labor market statistics, we are able to see a whole variety of measures of our economy any given week or month, and they give us a good picture of where we're going, where we've been, where we're going. And it's those measures that I'd like to report to you today, but let me give you the punchline at the outset. Every member of this committee should be exceptionally proud of where we are as an economy today in Florida. And it's due in large part to the work you and the administration are doing to put in place the right policies for economic growth. The story of the Florida economy the last 2.5 years is a turnaround story. We have gone from one of the hardest hit states in the recession to one that is leading the recovery. I'm going to take you through a series of statistics and measures that show that remarkable turnaround, so let me proceed to those specifics. But let me begin with just a brief recitation of where we were when the recession hit. We lost more than 830,000 jobs in our economy during the recession. Our unemployment went from 3.5 to 11.4%. Our job demand fell from 275,000 online job ads to about 160,000 at the height of the recession in 2009. We had, at the peak, over 700,000 Floridians claiming unemployment benefits. Our housing market crumbled, reaching peak foreclosure of 65,000 in April of 2009. Our state debt increased by several billion dollars by 2011. As you know, we faced significant budget shortfalls. Our consumer confidence tumbled from the 90s prior to the recession to the 50s during the recession. And the historically constant influx of new residents to our state, which really helped our economy throughout our history, fell to almost a trickle. So as stark as those numbers are, I'm now going to take you through a series of slides that show you the recovery has been equally stark but in the other direction. I'll turn first to unemployment. Again, prior to the recession, we went from 3.5 to 11.4%, and the rate was 11.1% when the administration took office. Since that time, the rate has steadily declined. Indeed, we have had the second largest decline in the country, and our rate now stands at 7.0% as of August. And let me emphasize how remarkable that drop has been. In February of this year, the Economic Estimating Conference predicted that the May rate would be 8%. In May, the rate was 7.1%. So our economy outperformed the estimate of just a few months prior by almost a full percentage point in unemployment. Our unemployment rate has been below the national rate, which is now 7.3, for six consecutive months. And prior to that time, we had equaled or exceeded the national rate for 5 years. So it was a very significant turning point 6 months ago, and now we are continually outperforming the national rate. We've had 34 consecutive months of over-the-year decline in unemployment. We talk about trend lines, and I'd just like to point out that trend line is a very positive trend line, 2.5 years of steadily decreasing unemployment. It is also helpful to look at how we rank among our peers in the 10 most populous states. We're, of course, the fourth most populous state, gaining on New York, about to be the third. So among that group of 10, Florida has the second lowest unemployment rate, behind only Texas. That will be a theme, unfortunately, in some of these slides. We're just a little bit behind Texas on some measures, but gaining on them. Florida had the largest percentage drop over the year of any of the 10 largest states. And just by comparison to some other large states with similar economies, California, Michigan, and Illinois still hover around 9% unemployment, with Illinois having the highest rate at 9.2%. New York, California, Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania all saw their unemployment rates increase last month, a month during which our unemployment rate decreased. As unemployment across the state continues to decline, each of our metro areas, of course, that make up the statewide rate have also experienced drops in over-the-year employment. This particular slide highlights some of the metro areas that saw decreasing unemployment last month and that are equal to or lower than the statewide average. You can see, for just by way of example, that Fort Lauderdale is at 5.8% unemployment. The only thing I'd note is that local rates are not seasonally adjusted month to month. So if you follow your district's rate month to month, you may see more fluctuations and variations than you see in the statewide. You may see it go up and down. And that, again, is because it would take into account that the seasonal variations will play into that local rate. So, for example, when school goes in or out of session, you may see a spike or a decline. And that's because we don't seasonally adjust the local rates. Before we turn away from the unemployment statistics, I'd like to break it down one other way, and that's by educational attainment. The numbers show that the more education one has, the lower the likelihood of unemployment. Nationally, those with less than a high school diploma had an unemployment rate of 11.3% in August. Those with a diploma had a 7.6% unemployment rate, and those with any level of higher education above high school had rates below both the national and the statewide average. The same holds true if we look at the statewide numbers over the year. That's the second chart there. Again, the higher the education, the lower unemployment. And if you have anything above high school education, you're going to be below the national and statewide averages. In short, education matters a great deal for unemployment. That is why the governor and the legislature have focused so intently on education policies. Education is the main driver of economic development in our state and across the nation. The corollary of the unemployment rate, of course, is reemployment assistance. As you all know, we renamed unemployment to reemployment assistance, stressing a change in emphasis. Let me just take you through a few of those numbers. As I mentioned earlier during the recession, we hit a peak number of persons claiming benefits of around 700,000. As of last week, we had approximately 240,000 people claiming reemployment benefits, so that number has fallen quite significantly. Because of the number of people claiming benefits during this session, our trust fund depleted rather quickly. You can see the gap. If you look at the difference between, I believe it's a red and a blue line, that large gap between taxes collected and benefits paid meant that we had to begin borrowing on August 29th, 2009 from the federal government to continue to float our system and make sure we could pay the benefits. We ultimately borrowed more than $3.5 billion from the federal government to keep the system afloat. This chart shows a recent history of the trust fund, and my favorite point on this graph is if you look at May of this year, that is when we paid off every dime of that $3.5 billion loan plus interest. 17 states are still financing benefits through federal loans. We were one of, I think, the first 15 or 14 states to pay off our loan. And just by way of example, California still has approximately $9 billion in debt that they owe to the federal government. New York has nearly $3 billion, and Ohio has over $1.5 billion that they still owe. The balance of our trust fund today, after paying off that loan, is around $800 million. So we're almost back to the...
I'm gonna pause there a minute. What is the rhetoric that the states that have a $9 billion looming federal debt, what are they saying to companies that are looking to relocate there?
I would imagine they're probably not talking about it. If I were them, I wouldn't. I don't know that I've heard the rhetoric. I think that would not be what they highlight. I can tell you what we would say about it. We would focus on the fact that we paid ours off very quickly. That's long-term a good thing for employers. We can also focus on our history. That was the first time we've ever had to borrow money from the federal government. Other states have had to dip into the federal government fund numerous times. Our system overall has been solvent and had low taxes for employers historically, and that we think now that we've paid it off and our unemployment numbers are getting better, that we will get back to being able to brag about our taxes compared to other states. Thanks for the question. In terms of employer taxes, this slide contains a lot of information and displays legislative changes made during the recession to lessen the impact on employers. I'll highlight just one of them. For example, the trigger, which is a mechanism to raise taxes when the trust fund depletes, was turned off. There is a change in law that will turn that trigger back on over time. Now let me turn to one of my other favorite charts that we have at the department. This is job creation, and of course, that's the driver of decreasing unemployment. On that score, there is truly an excellent trend line. It is the opposite of the unemployment line. It is a steady growth in job creation for the last 2.5 years. Again, during the recession, we lost a whopping over 830,000 private sector jobs. Over the last 2.5 years, Florida's economy has added more than 365,000 private sector jobs. The long-term trend, which is what we care about, is steady growth over time. Our over-the-year job growth rate has been positive for 37 consecutive months and has exceeded the national job growth rate since March of 2012. Again, let me compare to the states that we are most similar to, the 10 largest states by population. Florida has the third highest private sector over the year job growth rate behind Texas and Georgia, and you can see the rest of the states displayed in this chart. Let me turn to another interesting way to break down our job growth, and that is how does it break out among the industry sectors that we measure? Typically in labor market statistics, both at the federal level and at the state level, there are 10 sectors that are measured. We have seen positive growth over the last couple of years in 8 of those sectors. The leading sector is trade, transportation, and utilities, which has added 52,400 jobs over the year. The sector includes things like wholesale, trade, retail, transportation, and warehousing, and utility providers. You will also note strong growth in the leisure and hospitality sector and in the professional and business services sector. Note particularly the growth in professional and business services, jobs that typically require a higher degree of skill and training. The two industries that have not grown over the last couple of years are manufacturing and public sector employment. I'd like to focus particularly on manufacturing. That is an industry that this committee, the legislature, the Scott administration are intently focused on growing. We recognize that manufacturing jobs are incredibly important to a well-diversified economy. They are stable jobs. During a recession, they tend to weather the storm better than other jobs. They tend to be more stable. And so we and the legislature have focused on growing that, and the passage of the sales tax exemption was a major step in the right direction. Enterprise Florida has reported anecdotally to us that after the passage of that law last year, the interest from manufacturers has in fact increased. So we are taking steps in the right direction, and we look forward to working with this committee and the legislature to continue to find ways to reverse that trend in manufacturing.
Hang on just a second. Representative Williams, you got a question?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Slide 9, you talk about the job growth over the past couple of years. What is the job growth attributed to? I mean, what are the what is causing that? I mean, what can we point to say, you know, concrete that this is happening because of this?
Well, I think especially the most important thing, there's obviously a national recovery going on, and so when you have a recovery, jobs are going to grow. But I think the real question is, why is our job growth rate outpacing much of the nation and other states? And what I usually say when I'm asked that question in business groups and other places around the state is that policy matters. We have a tax policy, we have a budgetary policy, and we have a business-friendly policy that has helped this be a very attractive state for businesses to want to come here, to want to grow here. And I'll get into some of that later in terms of the major projects we've had. I think we all know that we, as government officials, can't go out and open the factories ourselves, but we can create the risk and opportunity environment that allows private sector entrepreneurs to want to take risks.
As a quick follow-up, so when you say tax policy, are you referring to the fact that we have no income tax in place? Is that one of the main drivers?
I think that's one driver. I think our overall approach to taxes and business taxes and regulation, all of that plays into Florida being perceived as a very business-friendly, pro-growth state. Thank you for the question, Representative.
Okay. We'll do is Representative Gibbons will recognize you, and then let's go ahead. Y'all write down your questions when we get to the end. And we'll come back and we'll do more questions in. But Representative Gibbons, you recognize, and then we'll let him proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is actually along the same line, not to be difficult, but yesterday in the full appropriations, Amy Baker was giving a presentation on, you know, on our overall outlook, et cetera. And I asked her a question that basically said, we were talking about us having a surplus of $845 million, and we're trying to figure different ways that we could spend it or not spend it to have the most positive effect on us as quickly as possible. And my question basically dealt with, if we cut taxes by $500,000, do we have a mechanism in place to measure the effect of, i.e. in either revenue growth or i.e. in job creation, so that we could, you know that it was a good decision or be a good decision to make? And she basically said to me, there's no mechanism in place right now, but that we are working on a mechanism so that, and it would be done in January, so that we could actually truly have a measurable effect, so that to ensure that type of policy actually does work, and it's not something, it's not an ideology. Here's a fact, and here's something measurable that way we can prove it. So I'm looking forward to what she said be available in January, so that we can then make good policy decisions along the lines of, hey, we're saying that, you know, like this tax policy being the attributed for it, we can then prove it rather than just say it. And so my question is, you know, do you agree with that? Because she's working on something, and she said it'll be ready in January, and I'm glad it'll be before session. So that's why I'm just picking up on his question, because it kind of follows along with, you know, we want to measure to make sure, to ensure that is a fact. So when he asks you a question, like, we can say we can prove it.
Well, we can get Amy Baker to set some time to come one-on-one with anybody if you want, with your staff, to meet with Representative Gibbons too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And just in response, Representative, it's a great point, and the governor is always intently and focused on measuring return on investment. I'll leave it to the economists, both in our department and in EDR, to come up with specific measures. I would say this, though. Mm-hmm. I think from just a common sense standpoint, you can measure how tax policy, how regulatory policy affects the economy by looking at states that take very different approaches. So if you take a state like California, a state like Illinois, and a state like Florida and Texas, we have very different approaches, and the proof is in the pudding. Our unemployment rates are lower, our job creation is stronger, and our business growth is better. So I think that is one very potent measure of how we can look at our investment in good tax and regulatory policy.
Okay.
Thank you. Industry growth across sectors. So 10 different sectors, again, trade, transportation, and utilities led strong growth in leisure and hospitality, and then just to sum up, manufacturing was where there was a loss, but we are all focused intently on that. These two pie charts show a comparison of how do those industry sectors actually comprise the Florida and the national economy. I'll just note two things. You can see that our growth over the last few years nearly matches the overall size of industries. So, for example, trade, transportation, and utilities is the largest sector in Florida, and so naturally that's also the sector in which we had the largest job growth. Comparing our economy to the nation's, there's just two things I would point out here. In terms of the largest positive difference, where do we have a larger industry sector than the nation as a whole? That's in leisure and hospitality, as you might expect, given the kind of state that we are and what our strengths are. We are 3.1% larger sector in leisure and hospitality than the nation as a whole. In terms of a negative difference, that's, again, I would go back to manufacturing. The national manufacturing sector is 4.6% larger as a percentage of the total economy than it is in Florida. So, again, we're focusing on manufacturing policy to try to change that comparison. Another very positive indicator for our economy is job demand as measured by online job ads. I like to look at this measure because everything I've been reporting on previously shows you where we've been. I think this is a good indicator of where we might be going, and it's a window into what we can expect for the future. First, notice what happened during the recession. That huge dip in the middle of the graph, just to repeat what I said earlier, we were, prior to the recession, we had 270,000 online job ads. We fell to about 159,000 during the recession. Today, right now today, sitting here, we have about 266,000 online job ads. That is a number I really like because 266, we are almost back to the pre-recession level of job demand. In August of this year, we had the greatest over-the-month gain in job demand of any state in the nation. And according to the Manpower Outlook Survey, which is a survey for many years that has looked at future job growth, Florida is projected to have one of the strongest job markets in the nation in the fourth quarter of this year. And yesterday, I saw something come out. Forbes rated Florida as one of the top 10 states in the nation for projected future job growth. This next slide very briefly just shows that online job demand by occupation. I'll leave it to you to look at the slides and go through it. But just for example, by far the greatest demand is for registered nurses. That is number one on the list. And, of course, that's in the all-important health services sector. Another indicator we all like to look at is housing. Of course, both nationally and in Florida, that was a major problem in the recession. There, the news is good as well. Of course, housing can lag behind in a recovery a bit from some of the other indicators, but here we see improving numbers. Housing starts are up 3.2% over the month, 33% over the year. Median home prices are up 1.4% over the month and 18.7% over the year. This graph also shows foreclosures over time, another indicator of the health of the housing market. You can see that there's been some fluctuation. There's a whole variety of reasons for that, and we could have another presentation just on that. But we are down, the important point is we are down significantly from the peak foreclosure in April and March of 2009. And now let me focus on our friends from Visit Florida and tourism. This is another really great story for our state. It's, of course, a vital part of our economy almost all over the state. As we talk about diversifying our economy, it is important to stress we want to diversify on top of and not away from tourism. Estimates are that over 1 million people in our state are directly employed by the tourism industry. There is a truly remarkable news on this front. In 2012, just a few years out of the recession and a few years out of the oil spill, we set an all-time record for our state in terms of visitors. Over 90 million people visited our state in 2012. Now, that's remarkable, but the even better point is this year we're probably going to exceed that record. Both the first quarter and the second quarter of this year were record-setting for quarters. We expect, and the governor often repeats to Will Seckham at Visit Florida, that to get 100 million visitors in 2014 would just be an astounding number for our state. In any given day, I like this figure a lot, in any given day there are more visitors to Florida than live in 12 different states in the District of Columbia. So we take entire populations of other states and have them visiting here, paying our local businesses, paying sales tax here, and then going back to their own states for services and benefits. Visit Florida is DEO's partner and Florida's main promoter of tourism. They do a truly excellent job. I think the investments that this legislature have made in Visit Florida over the last few years are truly paying dividends, and you can be very proud of the work that you've done there. So those are what I like to call the hard measures are about our economy. There are other measures that are important as well, and part of it is the governor often talks a lot about bragging about our state, and there's a reason. People in the business community need to understand this story and understand why this is a place where they want to move their businesses and grow their businesses. So let me just highlight a little bit about how the buzz has changed nationally about our state. CEO Magazine has ranked us the second best state in the nation for business, behind Texas. Area Development Magazine has awarded Florida the Silver Shovel Award for Economic Development. Fast Company Magazine awarded us, called us the number one state in the nation for innovation in its May issue this year. Business Facilities magazine ranked our business climate as the second best in the country. The magazine stated Florida surged into the number two slot on the strength of Governor Rick Scott's pledge to drastically cut back on business regulations and red tape. And then also this month, and equally important, or I believe it was last month, the credit rating agency Fitch affirmed that Florida bonds are at a AAA rating, and Moody's issued a report entitled Florida Back on Track, stating that revenues are growing, the economy is improving, and current financial and economic strengths underscore Florida's resilience and, as a tribute to all of you, sound fiscal management. And so that's what the Financial Times are saying about Florida. Even more important than that is what are businesses doing with their money and their operations? Are they moving to this state? And the answer is resoundingly yes. That gives me a chance to highlight the excellent work of Enterprise Florida and DEO's Division of Strategic Business Development over the past 2.5 years. We have a great new director at SBD. That is Sissy Proctor, who I believe is here today. And I trust this committee will get well acquainted with her over the next few months with other presentations. Let me just take a moment also to compliment Grace Swope and his team at Enterprise Florida. As I talk to consultants and business leaders around the state, they say that Florida is competitive for growth in a way today that it simply never was in the past. We did in this state for a long time rely on the natural benefits of tourism and, of course, the construction industry, and so we didn't necessarily have to compete as hard for those other sectors. We are now a player in every major deal. We may not get every one of them, no state does, but 5-10 years ago, consultants who do site locations and selections may have said we simply were not a player with other states in the Southeast. Now in every major deal, Florida is right there competing with Texas and Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina for those deals, and that is very much due to the work of Secretary Swope and his team at EFI. To name just a few of the major relocations and expansions they've helped land in the last 2.5 years, Amazon, 3,000 new jobs. Hertz and Astera, 700 new jobs. Time Warner in Tampa, 500 new jobs. Navy Federal in Pensacola, 700 new jobs. Univision in Miami, 350 jobs. Northrop Grumman in Melbourne, 1,000 jobs. Johnson & Johnson in Jacksonville, 150 jobs. Kamen Aerospace in Jacksonville, 200 jobs. Citrix in Fort Lauderdale, 200 jobs. Boeing in Titusville, 550 jobs. Verizon in Lake Mary, 750 jobs. And Chico's in Fort Myers, 150 jobs. So now that I've highlighted SBD's tremendous work, let me also highlight the two other divisions so I don't get in trouble when I go back to the agency. I will start with Workforce Services, which is headed up by Tom Clendenning, who is also here in the audience. Tom is an absolutely amazing resource. I am sure all of you know him. He has been in the workforce world for many years and is, when I have a question about the agency or anything in the history of reemployment assistance, workforce, Tom knows it. He may well have invented it. But he is really a tremendous resource for us. The biggest news for the division is that I'm very pleased to announce that on October 15th, we will launch Project Connect. This is the complete redesign of our electronic benefits payment system. You may know from passing the legislation that authorized this, we are running on a 35-year-old computer system that is programmed in a language that I don't believe is taught anywhere anymore. It is very difficult to program changes. We will have further presentations on this, and I hope that all of you have received or will be receiving over the next 24 to 48 hours individual briefings for you and your staff so that as you get constituent questions, and you will, we know that the system, anytime a new system goes live, there will be questions about it. We are going to give you and your staff and your local offices a very detailed Q&A that you can use to answer constituent questions about this important change. Other highlights of the division include issuance of work opportunity tax credits to employers that have potential to save more than $220 million in taxes. We've also created significant efficiencies by moving to e-filing of applications. The LMS shop, the Labor Market Statistics, Becky Rush shop, is developing the occupational supply demand system, which will help students, schools, and job seekers identify and adjust to labor demand. There's been a lot of interest. Ms. Rush presents on that issue quite a bit, and it will marry up quite well with the economic security report that we're also doing at the department so that consumers will actually be able to see educational outcomes in terms of the economy and then also see what the job demand is out there so they can choose their majors and their schools and their fields of study with eyes wide open when they go into that. Our Treasury Offset Program is another recent feature of the division. That allows us to recover erroneously paid or fraudulently paid reemployment benefits directly from the federal refund on taxes. So it's a much easier way for us to recover money. And to date, we put this in place, I think about 6 to 8 months ago, we've recovered nearly $20 million through that program. And on the workforce side of the house, I hope you have all seen that the governor put in place a rigorous measurement system for the workforce boards. Every week and month, they report on job placement. They get ranked on job placement. And I think it has a pretty significant motivating effect in terms of the work of the workforce boards. And then lastly, let me highlight the Division of Community Development. This is the division that took over the functions of what used to be the DCA. It is now led by Bill Killingsworth, who was formerly the chief planner for the city of Jacksonville, and it was a real coup to get him to come here and lead up that division. Bill is probably one of the state's foremost experts on planning. He is asked to speak all over the state quite a bit on planning issues, and so he is a great talent for us to have in the department right now. That division administers a whole bevy of community development programs. I'll just briefly highlight the State Small Business Credit Initiative. This was a federal program that was put in place at the height of the recession to really help small businesses and free up those credit markets. I and Bill and others from the department had the pleasure of visiting with Treasury officials about 2 weeks ago, maybe last week in Washington, and they repeatedly said that our administration of that program is one of the best in the country, and they often highlight it to other states in terms of how the program should be run and the innovative ways to use that money. With that, I will close. I know I may be standing between you and getting back to your districts, so thank you very much for indulging that. The short version, again, is you have a lot to be proud of in terms of the work that this legislature and the administration have done over the last few years to get our economy back on track. Thank you, Chairman.
All right. Let's get a list of hands for questions. Alan Williams. Alan Williams, you're recognized. Then we've got
good. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for this presentation.
Thank you.
And I did get the brief on Project Connect, and we're already prepared for our hopefully little phone calls that we get. But a couple quick questions, Mr. Chair. One, going to slide, I guess it's the one right before all of the Herps and Navy Federal Credit Union, all that stuff. We talk about all the things that are going great, and that's good, but I guess for me, what would help me, especially as we go into this next session, you know, what are our scars? I mean, we obviously talk about what's great, but, you know, what are our scars and where do we need improvement? And if you can highlight some of those, that would be important.
Thank you for the question, Representative. One of the things that comes immediately to mind, and I think all of the things I would mention, there's already focus on them, and it's should we continue to support those policies. Businesses often talk about workforce skills gap. As we continue to try to diversify our economy, bring manufacturers here, we need to make sure that our educational system and our quick response training, our workforce board training, is really tied quite closely to what employers are bringing here. So when you see on this slide all these companies that are coming, they have very specific needs. They want people with STEM education. They want people who know how to work at a manufacturer, et cetera. And so we really need to make sure that our policy is geared toward ensuring that we have as small a skills gap as possible.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we talk about STEM. I'm glad you talked about STEM, and that kind of leads me into my next question. One, what are we doing with STEM Florida, the STEM Florida initiative? Is there any connectivity between DEO or Enterprise Florida with STEM Florida? And then two, when we talk about the job growth, a lot of economists say we would have gotten this job growth anyway. It's kind of, like you said, it's part of the national recovery. What else can we do to obviously go beyond that? Because it seems like the numbers that you reported, those would have happened almost anyway, just because of recovery. And then out of that, are these more low-wage jobs or high-wage jobs?
Okay, so three questions. Let me answer the second one first.
Thank you.
I don't think we would have seen the job growth we've had in this state anyway. We have outpaced national job growth since March 2012, and I think the reason why states like Florida, and particularly Florida, are leading in growth is because of the policies we've pursued. My point is there's always some growth when you're in a recovery period. The question is, how do you outpace that growth? How do you do better? And then since we are outpacing that growth, what can we attribute that to? And that I really do think we can attribute to policy. In terms of the STEM issue and what we're doing, let me just see if anyone on staff, that's a technical question about how the programs relate. Anybody familiar with that one that can answer? Okay, I'd like to defer on that one again and follow up with your office if we could. I just want to, I don't know the details of how we might be coordinating with the advisor.
Jimmy Davis, Dr. Jimmy Davis is the head of STEM Florida, and I think it's a great initiative that we have in the state, but we don't have a lot of state funding for that.
Okay.
But I think obviously it may tie into what you were talking about.
Okay, great, and we'll follow up with you on that. Thank you.
I'm just curious, do you think the fact that the legislature and the governor and the governor leading us to pay down our debt the last 3 years and paying off the unemployment debt the federal government has made your team's job easier?
Oh, certainly. I think when we have to go out and tell businesses what is it like to be in the state of Florida, and you can say we are a state with sound fiscal management. I mean, go back, remember when Fitch and Moody's downgraded Florida's debt? That was a national news story. When they come back with a report about a year, year and a half later and can say the title of their report is Florida back on track because of sound fiscal management, that's something we can take out to businesses and sell and say, this is the kind of state you're coming to. It's a state that during recessionary periods is going to tighten its belt, keep taxes low, not burden you with the recession, but burden ourselves with it, and then we'll recover more quickly and we'll have the money that we had last year in the budget to fund our programs fully again.
Representative Gibson, you're recognized.
Gibbons?
Oh, I'm sorry. Gibbons. I'm getting you two mixed up. You look so alike. Representative Gibbons, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, let me tell you, great presentation. Okay. And I have to tell you, Grace Wolf has done a fabulous job. I worked with him this summer on a project that was like, unbelievable. But I'd like to focus on Visit Florida. Now, to me, Visit Florida is a perfect example of what I was talking about in my earlier question. A number of years ago, I was a ranking member on Transportation and Economic Development, and we were fighting for Visit Florida to keep a $34 million marketing budget. The argument that we used to keep that budget was for every dollar we invested in Visit Florida, we got back $2.50 in direct tax benefit, but we also got a total of $58 in spend. And with that argument, I think we really helped Will at the time, really to make his pitch. Last year, Visit Florida had, $75 million in marketing budget? And I think that that kind of justification, as we move forward making policy decisions on what we do with our surplus, that kind of justification makes it easy for policymakers to justify why we should go in one direction versus another. And would you not agree that, that's the kind of thing that we want should have or would like to have to make those decisions easier when it comes to the session?
Thank you for the question, Representative. I agree. Those measures are really important, and I think you have a friend in the governor when you're looking at return on investment and making sure that our tax dollars are deployed in a way that actually makes sense and brings back something to the state. And what I really enjoy with Visit Florida now is they can bring those numbers to you. I believe they did last session, and they'll do it again this session. The investment you've put into Visit Florida is paying dividends, and you can see it. I don't have all of those returns, but just the we are setting records, and we're just out of the recession, and we are setting records again. And they have surveys that show it does the advertising they do, the outreach efforts, it makes a difference to people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Pritchett, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In mentioning all of the companies that have relocated to Florida, you did say X number of new jobs were created. My question is, how many of those new jobs actually went to Floridians? And the reason I ask that question is because oftentimes when other businesses relocate, there might be lateral transfers in or other applicants from out of the state of Florida applying. So I was just curious because you rattled off the numbers, and thank you for providing those. But how many actually went to Floridians? And I don't know if you have that information with you right now, but that would be a question I would like to have answered, please.
Thank you for the question, Representative.
You're welcome.
It's a good question. I don't have those numbers offhand. I can check with EFI and SBD and see if we have them. One point I'd make, though, is just recall that as a state, one of our features, our strengths, always has been that people want to come here and move here, and then they become Floridians. So when a company comes here, let's say they pledge to create 500 jobs. If they bring 250 people with them, those are 250 people who are probably highly trained and they're going to add to our tax base and our educational system for years to come. So we welcome all comers to the state, and they're employed when they get here too. So I think both stories are positive.
If I might follow up, please, Mr. Chair.
You recognize.
All right, thank you. And you are absolutely right. It's just very good when we're in our districts to be able to say X number of Floridians in this area or that district actually were successful in acquiring some of those jobs, and that's why that information can be pretty helpful.
Thank you, Representative. We'll follow up with that information. And just anecdotally, I think I saw in the paper this morning, Hertz held a job fair yesterday. 1,000 people showed up for that job fair. So, you know, just these relocations, they do make a difference in your districts. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If you don't mind, I think probably that would be good to share with all the committee staff. So once you have that document prepared of those numbers, please get them to Teddy and she can get it around to everybody.
If we can find it, we'll get it to you.
Sure, sure. I mean, I just, even as the unemployment rate overall in Florida drops, the jobs are, that rate is dropping because of some reason. And I would think even their out-of-state folks coming in, they're still affecting our home populations, you know, job and employment opportunities. Representative Goodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is the Florida foreclosures right now.
Is that good enough, Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Question about Florida foreclosures. They're about 14.5 now. Do you see that number staying even, or do you see it going up?
Thank you for the question, Representative, if I may. You know, I think there are, as I was researching for this presentation, the trend lines have fluctuated a bit because of changes in law. We're hopeful that it will go down, but I don't think we can promise right now. As, you know, there was a backlog, and as those clear out, it is possible there will be spikes, but I think over time we're seeing a trend going down. I'm not the expert, a housing expert. We can probably come back and provide further information on that.
I think it's going to go up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Ray, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, thank you for your presentation. And second, I want to talk very briefly about something that we did last year and outline a couple things as we look and ask your question, you know, or two related to that. The first is you pointed out that Johnson & Johnson with Visticon is making their expansion in Jacksonville. I want to let everybody know that that was a direct result of what we did in the legislature last year. There was a struggle whether those jobs and that relocation was going to happen either here in Florida or whether it was going to go to Ireland of all places. But it was a struggle, and because of the work that we did last year, it's staying in Jacksonville here in the state of Florida. And that's the first 150 of I don't know how many more jobs it will be, but I know that it will be easily double or triple that before it's over with. And that's a direct result of what we did in terms of sales tax exemption. The second thing is that there is a movement, and I agree with you in terms of manufacturing, there's a movement of reshoring to the United States, and putting ourselves in the proper position is very important. One of those reasons is energy. One of those is because of the efficiency and the productivity of our workforce. But I think our challenges that we have today in the United States is that there's 600,000 jobs that are available in the manufacturing sector. Over the course of the next 5 years, there will be another 600,000 in this regional area, including Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina, due to retirements. The problem that we have is the skilled workforce. And what I want to ask you the question of is what initiatives do you see or do you believe that we need to be focused on in order to help get our workforce prepared so we can attract those businesses back here into the state of Florida and into the United States?
Thank you for the questions and the observations, Representative. And I think you're exactly right. There is a tremendous demand out there, and there is a skills gap. I usually respond to that question in two ways. One, we need to be doing things in the short term. As we try to attract these businesses here, they have very specific needs, and the best thing we can do is fully fund quick response training, fund the workforce board so that they can provide the short-term training to a local workforce that these businesses might want. In the long term, we have to focus our educational policy on the jobs of the future, and so that is why this committee, the legislature, the governor, talk about STEM, are trying to fund STEM. And the other issue is a question of perception. I think as manufacturing went offshore, people and families thought about manufacturing jobs as old, dirty factories, you know, where you come home with grime on your hands all day and they're low-paying jobs. The manufacturing jobs we're mostly talking about in this country and in Florida now are higher wage, are higher skill jobs. And so I think we need to change how families look at what those jobs can mean for them and their economic future and get students excited about wanting to go into STEM careers and manufacturing careers. And that's a change in emphasis about how we teach and talk about these jobs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jesse, I was wondering, I noticed earlier where you were talking about the Florida metro regions. Is there any kind of matrix to show where the trickle-down effect, so to speak, from the metro to the rural areas and how that's been a positive growth for our rural communities?
Thank you for the question, Representative. We can, I guess it would depend on exactly what you want to see. We can certainly track the unemployment numbers by county and by metro area. We can give you examples of employers like this that have moved into rural versus urban areas. If you give us sort of more information on what you want to see broken down, they can work some magic at labor market statistics and provide you with some very detailed information.
Follow-up? Follow-up. Thank you. What I'm looking for, and of course I'm not really looking for a specific answer right now, and so maybe you'll be able to provide me this information later, how some of the rural communities have made the changes that support the growth of the urban areas, and hopefully how we can continue to make sure rural communities don't have a us versus them kind of mentality. We want to make sure that the economic policies support the urban communities as well.
Well, thank you, Representative. We'll certainly follow up with more on that. One thing I would note, there is a tremendous focus right now in a cooperation between Enterprise Florida and the Division of Community Development at DEO to really focus on rural communities and how they can tap into the economic development we have. One of the things that Director Killingsworth stresses is that when we talk about diversifying the state as a whole, individual communities need to realize that they may not grow in all 10 industry sectors. No community is going to have the features that every business wants. And so what we are trying to stress through technical assistance is to go into communities and help them, especially rural communities, help them recognize their best features, their critical assets, and then say, sell that. Work your community plan around that and go out and be dominant in the sector in which that is an attractive feature, rather than trying to be all things to all people at once.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Well, thank you for your presentation, and we look forward to the follow-up with those details.
Well, thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. Any information we can provide to you, whether here or back in your districts, please let us know. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Members, I'm going to ask for a moment of silence. I just got an email from Bob Ward. One of our colleagues has just passed away, John Patrick Julian. He's 50 years old and passed away at Broward Memorial Hospital. So, if y'all don't mind, why don't you just take a second to remember him and his family and give him some strength. Amen. I spoke to myself. I'm sorry. Anyhow, we will, over the next few months, we'll, I don't know how quick we'll start actually hearing bills, but we'll have some more presentations to be educating you to the status of our state, helping you gather the information you need in order to help propose the policies that are in the best interest of moving our state forward into bigger and better things. Thank you for your leadership, Mr. Director, and your staff. Will, thank you for being here, seeing the back of the room. Thanks for what you're doing and being a good steward of the resources at the legislature as investing in your team. Is there anything else for the good of the order? All right, Representative Broxson.